The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Let every ear be anointed to hear, let every heart receptive to receive all that heaven has. Today we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to deal with something over the next, basically the next 3 weeks. So we're going to do part one now called Building a Household of Faith. And a lot of what I'm going to be sharing with you today has to do with our houses across the city, what we call HOJs. We just reached 122 houses across the city this past week. And so that was the number that we were believing God for, 120, and we topped it by two. And so we're going to believe God the next year to 18 months to go to 240 homes across the city. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." You know, obviously we must love people, treat people with kindness, sinners and saints alike. However, the Bible speaks specifically concerning the believers, how the believers are to take care of one another, look after one another, pray for one another, care for one another. Because it's so easy in this time that we're living in for people to just focus on themselves, and you go through your whole life. Do not be fooled by social media where suddenly you think you've got 300 friends because that's what your Facebook says. Because ultimately, they're actually not your friends. Many people are just voyeurs. They're just watching you to see what you do. To really look at your friends, you probably only have like a handful at the most. Are you with me? So that's why I don't get overexcited because two people unfollowed you. Because if you want to, I can give you the number where you can buy some fake followers if you want to. No, obviously you make friends and you show yourself friendly. But I can spend my whole life and not care for anybody else. There are many times on the road, and I'll be thinking of somebody. I'll text them, say, "I just want to tell you I love you, praying for you." You know, I'm thousands of miles away, but that doesn't mean God will bring them to my heart, and that's the way that you should be with your life. Now, go look at the book of Luke, if you would please, chapter 10, and I want to read from verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." So if we to love our neighbor as ourselves, how do you love yourself? Somebody says, "Well, I don't really love myself." Well, that's why you can't love your neighbor. Now, you don't love yourself as in a prideful thing, but you have to have a healthy love for yourself, otherwise you won't even take care of yourself. Are you with me? Some people are on a job to punish themselves because they don't know that Jesus paid the price, shed his blood, and they already can receive forgiveness through that, so they want to pay penance for their sin. You can't do that. You can't go hang on a cross and pay the price for your sin. You have to come to the foot of the cross and humble yourself and accept him as your Lord and Savior. "He answering and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" Well, who of you live in a place, an apartment, a house, or some place? Come on, wave your hand. Who has people living next to you? Guess that. That's your neighbor. Somebody said, "I don't really like my neighbors." All right. Well, we'll deal with that. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jericho to Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. One of the things that you'll see, and I find this everywhere I travel, I find half dead people. I go to churches, there's half dead people. Half dead pastor, half dead deacons, half dead choir. That's just in the church. People have been beaten up by life. Are you with me? Sometimes you can look at yourself and you think, I'm the only one going through this. You don't understand. You're one of 7.5 billion people on the planet. And everyone has a story. I love walking through, you know, airports. I just look at people and then I think, they all have a story. I wonder what their story is. That person has a story. They're not telling what the story is. Half dead. Everybody say half dead. That's why I don't like meat cooked rare. Because it reminds me of half dead. I want the thing cooked, man. I don't want it chasing it around my plate. And by chance there came a certain priest that way and saw him, passed by the other side, and likewise a Levite. And when he was at his place, came and looked at him, passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now, compassion is something that causes you to act. Here we were, looking at the drought in Cape Town, and God began to speak to me about going there and standing to break the drought. And then the Lord said, don't just go by yourself. Take 125,000 bottles of water and give everyone in the field that comes every night water. Do you know that the night before the crusade, the rains came, that there was a flood, 9 people drowned. Not that that's good, but I mean, that means a lot of water. Are you with me? Then it rained during the crusade. It rained after the crusade. And even now, I'm getting clips of people sending me little videos where it's raining in Cape Town. Yeah. And the deadline was April to run out of water, and they moved it indefinitely now. The deadline has been moved. So, compassion, we could have just sat there and said, that's got nothing to do with me. I live here. We got plenty of water in Tampa. If Cape Town can't pray about their water, it's not my problem. But I just felt, we're going to go stand there and break the drought. Are you with me? So, I probably get myself into all the trouble then, because when you're compassionate, you see the hurting people, then you go do something about it. Compassion moves. Compassion doesn't just sit on your blessed assurance. Compassion takes time out of your busy schedule to go help other people that are hurting. Are you with me? He went and bound up his wounds, pouring the oil and the wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn and took care of him. Now, think about this. The moment the Good Samaritan stepped down to pick up the man that was lying half dead, he put himself in a place of vulnerability. Every time you open up to help people, you're making yourself vulnerable. And the reason why people don't open themselves up to help people, because I did that, then I got hurt. I tell you, I did that 3 times. I got hurt. I'll never again. Never. Listen, you can build all the walls you want to and shut yourself off from other people, but you're actually shutting yourself off from the great blessing that God has for your life. You should just have a whole attitude. Is I'm going to give everybody the opportunity to abuse me. At least once. Because if you don't, you'll stop giving, and when you stop giving, you stop living. You talk to people that have been ripped off or stolen from, and then they're always stuck on that. How you doing, brother? I'll tell you, it's just bad. 1972, I was stolen from. Now we're living in 2018. They still stuck back in 1972. I was stolen from. They stole $100,000 from me, and I've just never been able to recover. Are you out of your mind? You mean it's 1972 to now? You should have just turned around and gave the money away and just started afresh and never held that as anything that was lost. You actually been holding yourself back. Stop whining about how bad things have been. You're not the only person on the planet that's gone through some hard times. Hello? So can I tell you what happened? No, we've heard it before. We don't want to hear it again. Shut up about that story now. You whining big baby. Grow up. Suck it up now. I don't want to hear how you were ripped off and stolen from. Get over yourself. Somebody said, well, that's just mean. That's just mean, brother. I mean, it's just mean. No, you have to jolt people out of the apathy. I had one person that was always whining on the phone, whining about how bad things are. They lost this, lost that. I mean, I went on months and months and months. One day on the phone, I said, listen, shut up. They said, what? I said, shut up. I'm finished now. I'm done. I don't want to hear about this again. You know, they still talk about it. The day that Pastor Rodney told me to shut up. Says it's the greatest thing they ever heard. Shut up. Sometimes saying shut up helps people. No, because otherwise you get in this pity party where I'm the only one in the world. There's nobody but me. Nobody but me. And you'll find three other people to get in the pity party along with you. And by the end of the day, you're all looking at bottles of tablets seeing if we can swallow these. The Good Samaritan didn't consider himself. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to put myself in harm's way by getting off of my beast of burden, whatever he was riding, a donkey, a horse, whatever was carrying him. I'm not going to put myself in that place of vulnerability. Besides that, I'm busy. We're all busy. We all should be busy. Somebody said, well, I didn't want to really get involved. We're really busy. Well, guess what? I can ask God to take away everything that's keeping you busy to free up some time so you can actually be able to help some people. You ugly thing, you. So the Bible says that he took care of him. We're to take care of one another. We're to help one another. We're to look after one another. Every week, this church spends up to $7,000 every Sunday just on buses and food. Every single Sunday. And we've done that for years and years and years now. Somebody said, why do you do that? To help people. Why do you go to the inner cities? To help people. Why do you do some of the crusade? Why do you go to those people and preach the gospel? To help them. To help them. Why are you going to Tulsa, Oklahoma tonight? To help people. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him. Whatever thou spendest more, when I come, I'll repay him again. So here's what the Lord says. The Lord is saying, this is going to cost you, and it might cost you a little bit more than what you have. But don't worry. When I come again, I will repay. In other words, God is the one that's keeping score and keeping account. So nothing that you do goes unnoticed by heaven. Every act of kindness, every act of love, every act of service, every time you go out of your way to help people, God is watching and he sees from heaven. And you will be rewarded. Some will be rewarded here on earth, others in the life to come. Let me tell you, and if I ask you which area would you prefer your reward, do not accept all of it here. Say, I'll take 10% here. Give me the 90% on the other side. Because what you get here will be taken, will be lost. But whatever you get there will be waiting for you. Jesus is preparing a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. And he's not like that old country Christian songs. Lord, build me a cabin, with the banjos playing. In the corner of gold, even like glory land. In the shade of the tree of life, where it might ever send down, 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 down. He's not building you a cabin. I said he's not building your cabin in the corner of glory land. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He's building you a mansion. I didn't write that. He wrote that. Who remembers that song from years ago, came out in the Christian? Some of you are raising your hand. I've even told you what the song is. I'm not talking about the cabin one. I'm going to tell you another one. The song that said, come and go with me to my Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots of room, with a big, big yard where we can play football. Typical American want to play football when you get to heaven. I pray they don't run around in tights like they do here on the earth. But it's a big, big house, the big, big yard. Can you say amen? So he said, take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you. Then he says, now, which of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor to him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go do thou likewise. So when the priest walks by, what does that tell me? Religion walks by. The Levite, those that are nitpicky of the law, walks by and does nothing. There are many people in America that don't even lift a helping hand because they say, I'm just too busy and I'm just taking care of myself. We must take care of yourself and your wife and your children, but you must help other people. That's part of the Christian faith, is to help other people. That at the end of the day, when you leave this earth, you not only got yourself to heaven and your family, but you brought a bunch of people along with you. Are you with me? This is the body of Christ in operation. Christianity is not merely about attending church, which a lot of people say, well, I go to church Sunday morning. What more do you want from me? Fruit that comes from your life. It's what God is doing through you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I am busy. Let me tell you, I am busy, but many times God interrupts my busyness to stop for a moment to deal with somebody that is in another place, another situation, and to help them and to rescue them. This should be 7 days a week. We all have a life. We all have responsibilities. Your family, your house, your job, your car. But don't get so caught up. Don't be so self-absorbed that you can't help anybody else. If you want your life to count for something in eternity, then we can't make it merely about these things. The Word of God says that if we make the Lord and His kingdom our priority, He will help us with all those things. Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. How many could say that the Lord has freely given to you His eternal life and His blessing? Then you are to freely give that which is given to you, to others. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's the heart of the Father. And then you see Christians say, I want to, Brother Ronnie, pray for me. For what? I want to be just like Jesus. Pray for me. I want to be like Jesus. Well, Jesus wasn't selfish. Jesus went out of His way to help those that are hurting. You know, in John 17, we see Jesus praying a prayer. And how many know that Jesus gets His prayers answered? John 17 and verse 23, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So there's people, they don't know that God loves them. Who of you found out about the love of God and wished that somebody had told you earlier about His love? But aren't you thankful that you actually found out about it? About how much he loves you. These people here in the city of Tampa, they don't know that. They don't know that God loves them. No one has ever told them. And the Bible is so specific even about us entertaining strangers, because in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, do not forget or neglect to, or refuse to extend hospitality to strangers in the family, being friendly, cordial, gracious, sharing the comforts of your home and doing your part generously, for through it some have entertained angels without knowing it. How do you know that the person sitting next to you right now is not an angel? I just saw a wife look at me, trust me. I live with him, but he ain't no angel. No, the Bible says be careful when you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. How do you know that it's not an angel come to do a little checkup on you and is going to give a report card to heaven? I went down there, they were rude. Sometimes people are rude to the people they know, and then strangers, they're suddenly all sweet and nice. No, just be sweet to everybody. Boy, that went over well. Being hospitable without grudging. Yeah. It's for you. Who wants help with that attitude? Yeah. No, thank you. First Peter 4:9. Practice hospitality to one another. And in each instant, do it ungrudgingly, cordial, graciously, without complaining, but as representing him. The Bible tells us to be given to hospitality. Romans 12:13, distributing the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. If you hear of a need and you have the ability within your hands or power to do it, then do it. If you have something stuck in your basement you're not using and somebody has a need, then just send it on to whoever has the need if you're not using it. Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessity of the saints, pursue the practice of hospitality, not hostility. Some people are hostile, cranky. We had a lady that used to come to this church for the longest of time, and she doesn't come here anymore because we had to rebuke her, but she wouldn't let anybody touch her. I mean, just if somebody bumped her in the seat, I could see it. She was like, get away from me. Don't touch me. I mean, that's rude. She wouldn't let anybody touch her and wouldn't leave the church. You know, she's just here, but just cranky because here all day sitting in amongst people, scowling at people. If anybody come near, don't touch me. He's touching me. Stop touching me. If you're here with a group of people and there's people everywhere, you're probably going to get touched. She felt like she didn't want, you know, them passing some anointing onto her or whatever. This is wacky. Some wackadoodle. So she stays home and watches on the internet where nobody could touch her. Don't touch me. No, we actually have to recommend that she go somewhere else. We said, look, come on. We can't put you in a bubble. Imagine four ushers walking around her so nobody would touch her. Have a sound, don't touch. 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Bible talks about good works. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 10, the widows must have a good reputation for good deeds, as one who has brought up children, has practiced hospitality to strangers of the brotherhood, washed the feet of saints, helped to relieve the distress, and devoted herself diligently to doing good in every way. Ephesians 6, 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to man. We were talking about it yesterday. There was a comedian that did a whole thing on, you know, back in the early days, 20, 30 years ago. Somebody knocked on your doors. People would bring out the cake, you know, get everything ready. We've got guests here. They're showing up. And this is going to be great, you know. And today, people duck and hide under the coffee table. Are they still there? Are they still there? Because we're watching Netflix. We don't want anybody here. Just pretend. Tell the kids, shut up. Shut up. Don't even move. Just freeze. They'll see your shadow in the window. People ring the doorbell, ring the doorbell. It used to be when you open your house, you know, people come in and it's just, you know, you could just show up. Well, that's at least the way we are in where I come from, Southern Africa. You just show up at people's house. You don't need an invite to come to somebody's house. You show up at somebody's house, they just welcome you. You're going to probably end up eating a meal. They'll pull out, you know, they'll pull out a sheep, man, cook the whole sheep. I mean, that's just the whole thing. For whatever reason, I don't know what happened to America, but Americans, we see this more with international people. International people are more open to having people come around. American people, for some reason, they got their little house, little fortress, little thing, you know. They might as well have a cannon on the doorstep just to shoot people that come around. No, they believe in God for a house so that they can just live there. So that your house, you can entertain, you can have people over, you can be friendly. You can help people in. Our house was always a house where there were strangers. My mother and father would take in drug addicts, alcoholics. There was always, I'd come home from school and then there's strangers in the house. I said, well, what are they doing here? I know, we helped them. And they would stay for 3 months and everyone would get saved and all of them would get delivered from drugs. And that's how I grew up, always. Oh. You know, when I went to do the double funeral for Pastor McCurdy and his wife, Frankie, I met all the other family. He adopted two white kids. He had one white, they had a boy they brought in at 18 years old. The guy must have been in his 55. Frankie said, I'm going to love you even though you look like the back end of a baboon's behind, you know. She told him that. Frankie told him. He got up at the funeral and told everybody that. You know, but they adopted. They said, this guy got up. He said, he's probably 55 now. He said, well, I was 18. And he said, I was on the street. And Pastor Jane McCurdy looked at me. He said, come, got me saved. He said, do you have a place to live? No, were you staying right here with me? And they adopted him for 5 years, got him on his feet. And their house was always a place full of people. So what I'm trying to say is, if we're going to reach the city, then we have to open up in so many ways outside of ourselves. Are you with me? And I know there's people, how many are already involved in HOJ? Raise your hand. All right. And there's some people that are not involved in HOJ, and I'm going to ask why. Are you that stuck up? No. Are you that stuck up that you just don't want to be involved? Look, even if you don't open your house, at least come to somebody else's house. How are we going to reach the city with some people that are generous, the hearts that are open, and they're given to hospitality, and then we're going to reach the city with a bunch of stuck-up people? We can't. You can't reach people with stuck-up, arrogant people. You know, I know that there's people that have left the church because of we bring people here on the buses. I had a guy, you know, ask me, are you going to bring those people to your church every Sunday? I said, you mean my people? Am I bringing my people? Don't insult me. Yes, I'm going to bring my people here as a deterrent to keep you away from the church. But I don't want you here. don't dictate to me who we can bring and who can't bring into this church. I love to tell the story that, one evangelist, I don't even know where he is right now, but he would dress up like a homeless bum. And of course he would preach, go around, but he would have like a Hollywood makeup of a homeless tramp, and show up at the church he's going to preach at and get there 2 hours before the service and stand in the parking lot and watch the people. And the deacons would come up and say, we don't welcome your type here in this church. Meanwhile, he's the guest speaker. They don't know he's the guest speaker. We don't need your type here. And he would just stand there for 2 hours and everybody come in the church. And then he walks down front, sits with his wife, and the pastor invites, and he walks up and everybody realizes, oh my God, that's who it is. That's the guest evangelist. He's actually going to preach now. And I just cussed him out in the parking lot. There were people that immediately left the service because they're too embarrassed. So I said, you have to come to the river. I want you to do that. You come, you be a homeless bum in the parking lot of the river. And I want you to test out people. So he arrived here and I told security, look, there's a homeless guy walking around. Leave him alone. Leave him go wherever he wants to go. And they're like, okay, well, that's like a little strange. What's pastor doing? Why? Yeah. And he was really done out good with makeup, but you know, just like a homeless tramp, man. And he'd walk around here and everything. And then I said, now bring him back. We were on the bus. Bring him to the bus. So now he comes to the bus. Now the security is freaking out. I take him onto the bus. They go, oh, the homeless guy went on the bus with Pastor Ronnie. So we sit down. So I said, how did it go? He said, phenomenal. He said, well, I saved about 17 times. He said, I've got $179. He said, I was given a bicycle and I got a Subway sandwich and I got some gift cards to some restaurants and whatever. And I said, did you have any resistance to anybody at the river? He said, no, this church, I didn't find anybody. Everybody was just the kind. He said, I even got a scholarship to the River Bible Institute. Hallelujah. So maybe it's time for me to bring a couple of people like that around just to test, to see what happens. I thought I should just train up 12 people like that and send them around and then we raid church and put a website up. And do the whole website and then put a church through a test. And then we can cross them off in the city. This one's favorable, this one's not favorable. Who thinks that would be great just to test places out? That's why we don't look at what people wear. Well, you can't come in here like that. I mean, obviously people are naked, we're gonna put something on them. You can't come in here flashing your behind. I mean, really. But we don't sit and judge people by the clothes they wear. So don't be stuck up. Don't be so arrogant. And some people are just basically pretentious. They everything, you know, they actually pretend they're further on than they are. Some people pretend to have wealth, they have nothing. They're up to their eyeballs in debt. Everything's hocked up to their eyeballs. But they pretend like the wealthy float rolling in the dough. If you actually saw their bank balance, you're probably richer than they are. Don't ever be fooled by all of that. And be nice to people. And be kind to them. Go out of your way. Go out of your way. And this last week, I mean, we have guests coming. I had Quasimodo sitting on the front row and two garden gnomes. I mean, you never know who's going to show up, you know. Quasimodo, you know, from the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I mean, anyway, just, you had to be there. The two gnomes were just staring at me the whole night. It's great to have Quasimodo and the two garden gnomes. Phenomenal. the stuff we have to endure on the road. You're allowed to smile. You can smile here. You have a jacket. You need a smile to go with your jacket. These two guys are sitting like this. Take a relaxation pill, guys. You know, it distracts me when people just stare. It's rude to stare. At ease. At ease. Relax. At ease. Where are you from? Huh? Congo. Africans are happy people. Have you been living in America too long? Huh? Oh, you've been Americanized? Come on, loosen up. I'm from Africa. I'm from Africa. You're from Africa, we must be happy. Everybody say hospitable. Hospital. I mean, Pastor Eric and Jennifer, they tell the story. Yeah, they were executives. They owned a major company. They built $20 million a year turnover. They had 100 people working for them, and they were always loading up vehicles, bringing people to church. How many people did you end up bringing to that church in West Palm Beach? I mean, just on every Sunday. 40 to 50 they brought. They executives in a company. She used to drop $30,000 a month at needless markups. No, this was her spending money. When she walked into Neiman Marcus, all the people come, oh, Mrs. Gagnon, great to have you. And then, because this was her. They had the money. But it didn't bother her. They went and picked people up. He picked people up in the car. She picked people up in her car and came to church. 40 people. Lived in a mansion. But put themselves out. They always have. They always have. They do that today. Pastor, don't keep talking like this. No, we've got a vision to see Tampa shaken, and it can't rest on one person. Everybody's got to have that in your mind and in your heart. Are you with me? Each one? Each one? Make disciples? Win the lost? Let me ask a question. Who believes that in the next 12 months that you can find somebody that you can make as radical as what you are for the kingdom of heaven? Somebody that's not in this church. Somebody said, you're really pushing me here today. Yeah, we are. Do you know the testimonies that are already coming out of the HOJs of people that were broke, busted, and disgusted that are now in Bible school, people that are going into the ministry? Listen, there's no telling what's going to happen in the next 5 years coming out of what's taking place. There's no telling. So this is the time to get busy like never before. To bring in this great harvest of souls. And God wants to use every single one of you so that the day comes when you get to heaven and you're not embarrassed because you just live for yourself. Yeah, that would be my embarrassment to see you embarrassed as the church, because then you were under my watch and I didn't do my job as a pastor to push you. And then you end up looking at me because I never preached the full counsel of God. You don't have to. There's a lot of stuff taught today that's nonsense. Like there's some people that are there in your life temporarily, and they're just there to help you get to your next way. That's all total garbage. I mean, yes, there are people that you've had relationship with in the past, and you don't see them anymore because they moved away and all that kind of stuff. But there are some friends that are friends for life, that it don't matter if you don't see them for 20 years, and you're with them. It's like you never left. That's how it is. But we don't go through throwing people away and using people and abusing people, because that's not what this is about. People are not there for our benefit. We are there for their benefit. Are you with me? We're there to help people. If you end up getting helped in the long run, that's just great. But that's not what your goal is. You're not helping people so that they can turn around and help you. You're helping people because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to help people. In actual fact, the people you help should be able to say to you, how do I ever pay you back? And you should say, you can't pay me back. Help, I'll tell you, maybe there's one thing you can do. Help others as I've helped you. Then that will be my full pay. Because we shouldn't just be helping people that can help us. We should be helping people that can never help us. That there's no ways in 100 million years that they could ever pay you back. And then ask them, as I've done to you, to help you, would you help others? Let me ask you a question. Who of you in this place have received help along the way from somebody that was in a position to help you? Wave your hand. Wasn't that just such an encouragement? Come at a time when you were going to give up. And let me tell you, we don't stand here and tell people every Sunday what we do. There's things we do on the quiet that no one knows about. There's people we help that we do not even signal. We don't even make the announcement of what we do. So we help people whether people know about it or don't know about it. Always helping people. Always. Who of you have never ever been to an HOJ? Wave your hand at me. Who has been to an HOJ? Who's plugged into an HOJ currently? Who's not plugged into an HOJ? We've got to plug you in. We'll find a place nearby you and plug you in. It's important. You say, why? Because so we can find out what you've got to bring to the table. Hello. And then there's some people here that God's going to talk to you. Why would the Lord give you a nice house if you're not even going to open it up? Huh? You tell the Lord, Lord, you give me that home, I'll open it up. I'll bring people in. I pray God give you a nice house with a big room where you can house people. So listen, this is what I want our focus to be the next 3 weeks. And then after the ladies' conference, I'm going to meet with all the HOJ leaders. How many HOJ leaders are here? Stand, if you would, all the HOJ, and then the two ICs, people that are helping them. Yeah. So the Monday after the ladies' conference, we're all going to meet you, and I'm going to share the vision of the next 12 to 18 months of how we're going to see the city shaken. But let me tell you, I don't take lightly what you're doing. We pray over you. We pray God reward you for taking the time out of your busy schedule, as many are busy, to be involved in helping see Tampa shaken by the hand of God. May God richly, abundantly reward every single one of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. So we're loving, we're caring for people. Lady's going to have a baby, comes out, there's food, the home groups are bringing food, somebody dies, they're there for them, they're looking after them. You know, all of these things should be in place so the church can take care of the church. We don't have to go to some welfare organization or some group of people on the outside to come and help. We in turn have paid for funerals, we paid for weddings, we paid for everything. I mean, many things that go along. I get texts on the road, Pastor David, say there's this person in need to pay the rent. Can we do it out of benevolence? Yes, do it. I get a text, I need this much for that. Yes, do it. This is a member, they need this. Yes, do it. Have you ever had me say no? Have you ever had me say no? No. Now somebody said, well, then you should help everybody in the city. We can't help everybody in the city. It's impossible. We're going to help the members of this church. I'm not responsible for members of other churches. Somebody said, well, there's a member of another church they have a need. Then go ask your pastor to help. Go get that pastor. Well, they won't help. That's not my problem. That's where you go to church. I can't help that. You come to the river, that's totally different. You're a member here at the river, this is your home church. That's a different story. Are you with me? And I'm not saying that you have to do this. I'm just saying what is our custom, our culture from where I come from. We don't even go to somebody's house without even bringing something. Which I'm not asking the home groups every time you come to a home group to bring something. I'm just saying it's that heart of sharing. Yes. And being kind. And being helpful. And being gracious. I know, Liz, it's getting quiet here now. It's getting a little quiet here. It's actually getting a little quiet here now. But just stop for a moment and realize you're not all by yourself. There's people around about you. Spend less time on Facebook and start helping people. Spend less time posting a selfie and start helping people. Let me close with this. You know what irritates me more than ever? Because this is where the body of Christ goes wrong. So there's a problem that happens, and then there's always hashtag pray for Paris. Hashtag pray for Barcelona. Why didn't you hashtag shut up? No. Why didn't you hashtag get a passport, pay your ticket, and go to Barcelona? Why didn't you hashtag go to Paris? Because people sit and they social media justice warriors, you know, and they send out these little memes, and then they have done my job. Well, you did nothing. You made a meme and put it out on internet. You did absolutely squat diddly. Nobody in Paris saw your thing come up and go, pray for Paris. Nobody felt it. So we've got to be involved. We have to be involved. Are you with me? Hallelujah. 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 Say this after me. Say, I'm going to be a help. Everywhere I go. If the Lord blesses me, which He is, then I'm going to be a blessing to other people in proportion to what He's blessed me with. And I'm going to help as many people as I can. From now until the time that Jesus takes me home, I will make it my life's mission to help everyone and to be kind and to be hospitable by the grace of God in Jesus' name. I'm not a snob. I'm not uppity. My nose is not stuck up in the air. I don't look down on people. I look at people with compassion. I will get down off of what I'm doing, into the mess, into the blood. I will put myself at risk. I will put myself in harm's way. I will take time out of my busy schedule to risk everything to help somebody in need, because that's the heart of Jesus. And I receive that today. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I want everybody to bow your heads, please, right across this room. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give an invitation here today. If you fit into any one of these three categories, we're going to pray. Maybe you walked in here today. You've never, ever given your life to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior. I want to ask you this question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? If you went home tonight, put your head on your pillow, in the middle of the night, you breathed out your last breath, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all the guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way, because today Jesus stands with arms wide open and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want you to know that he loves you and he calls you today. Maybe you've come into this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by. You've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost that passion that you once had. But today you say, I'm coming back. I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man. But today you say, I want it gone. I want it gone. He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and my Savior? Take out this thing that's blocking me today. I want everything removed that's hindering me today. And I surrender my life to you afresh. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward. Maybe everybody knows about what it is. Everyone knows what it is. And the devil uses that against you to keep in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened and transpired in your life. But today you say, I'm coming to Jesus and I'm surrendering to him today. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world, knocked the wind out of your sails. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air will come from the presence of the Lord, that today God calls you. He says, come, it'll be a new beginning for you today. Will you surrender to him? He loves you. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's not that storm. Maybe you're here and you say, I gave my life to Jesus, but I'm not sure of my salvation. I struggle between my head and my heart. The devil's always lying to me, telling me that I'm not saved. But today I want to make sure. I want to know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. If this is you and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you right where you are. Quickly put your hand up. Say, pray for me. I need Jesus. God bless you. 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 Raise up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Under the overhang. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All the way to the back. Another hand. God bless you. 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 Slip it up high and say, yes, that's me. Slip it up high. Slip it up high and say, yes. God bless you. 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 Anybody else? Put it up high. Bless you. Once you've raised, you can put it down. I want you to look at me right now, please, in this section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, quickly put your hand up, say, include me. God bless you. This section, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, put your hand up right now. Bless you. Put it up high. God bless you. Anybody else? Under the overhang, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, put your hand up right now. Slip it up high. This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, put your hand up right now. Say, include me. God bless you. Yes, yes. I want everyone that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to stand right now, please. All across the building, just stand right now. All across the building, everyone that raised your hand, just stand. We're going to pray. I want you to come from where you are and come stand right around the altar. We're going to pray right now. Come. Ushers, help them. Come. Come now. Come, we're going to pray. Those that stood, come. We're going to pray. Bring your personal belongings with you and come. Come on down. Help them, ushers, help them. Come. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back. Amen. Yeah, it's so awesome. Our little grandson, 3 years old, now he's coming to the altar calls. Reminds me of his father. His father used to come all the time, you know. And the same with his two sisters. It's amazing when the kids start to respond to the call of God. Amen. I want you to look at me. We're going to pray a prayer right now. If you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. One prayer fits all. I want you to close your eyes right now. Raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me right now. Say this after me. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank him right now. Just thank him right now. Father, I pray that you would seal them now. Seal them by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Look at me. As a servant of the Most High God, by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of the Word of God, and by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit, I tell every single one of you right now, your sins are forgiven you right now. Forgiven. Right now. Right now. Forgiven.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.